Good morning, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotionals. Today's passage is 2 Samuel 14, 25 to 33. Verse 25. Now in all Israel, there was no one so much to be praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he cut the hair of his head, for at the end of every year he used to cut it, when it was heavy on him, he cut it. He weighed the hair of his head 200 shekels by the king's weight. There were born to Absalom 3 sons and 1 daughter whose name was Tamar. She was a beautiful woman. So Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem without coming into the king's presence. Then Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but Joab would not come to him. And he sent a second time, but Joab would not come. Then he said to his servant, "See, Joab's field is next to mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire." So Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and went to Absalom at his house and said to him, "Why have your servants set my field on fire?" Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent word to you. Come here that I may send you to the king to ask, 'Why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to be there still.' Now therefore, let me go into the presence of the king, and if there is guilt in me, let him put me to death." Then Joab went to the king and told him, and he summoned Absalom. So he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Amen. As a quick recap, Absalom, King David's son, murdered his own brother, Amnon, for raping his sister Tamar, and for this he was banished. Of course, what Amnon did was extremely evil. It is completely against the heart of God. Yet Absalom took justice into his own hands and felt completely justified in his actions of murdering him. In today's passage, we see that Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem without seeing his father, King David. So eventually, he's had enough. He calls his cousin Joab to arrange him to meet his father, but he refused. Twice. So now Absalom's really had enough and set Joab's field on fire to get his attention. It worked, and Joab brings Absalom to the king, who ended up kissing Absalom. So great, it seems it all went well. Absalom finally reconciled with his dad and things are okay now, right? Well, that's what it may look like at first glance, but there's more to the story. To illuminate this passage, I'm going to parallel it with the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son had wasted his life away and was filthy, essentially living with pigs and eating from the sty. On the other hand, while we don't know what Absalom's years of banishment were like, scripture does say that he was praised for his handsome appearance. It says there was no blemish in him. And it's likely to believe that he was liked and looked up to by many. The prodigal son returned to the father with humility, saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." Restoration to his former right as his son was not even a question for the prodigal son. But Absalom, on the other hand, came demanding attention by burning Joab's field. He was demanding in his heart that he wanted his right restored. The prodigal son came with a repentant heart. Absalom came with an entitled heart. He said, "Now therefore, let me go into the presence of the king, and if there is guilt in me, let him put me to death." That's how confident he was that he did no wrong. He really did not think murdering his brother was anything guilty. The prodigal son's father came running to him and restored him. King David, on the other hand, looked at how Absalom came to him and just kissed him. On the outside, it may look like David forgave Absalom, but as king, he had a duty to also be the chief judge. He overlooked Absalom's crimes and lack of repentance. Now, while it is quite obvious that we should come to God in repentance like the prodigal son, oftentimes we can be more like Absalom. Instead of truly repenting, we justify our sins and make excuses for our behavior. To give a silly example, it reminds me of when kids fight. My younger sister and I growing up would fight all the time. Sometimes I would do something mean or petty to her, and then my parents would give me a disapproving look or word. In response, instead of just saying sorry, I would blame her and say something like, "Well, she did it to me first," as if that justifies my same exact behavior. And unfortunately, even as adults, we do the same thing. We were hurt by someone, and therefore it justifies our behavior to hurt others or to hurt them back, whether intentional or not. Or sometimes we rationalize why our sin is okay. But the passage makes it very clear the difference between coming in true repentance, like the prodigal son, and coming in haughtiness, like Absalom, and they do not lead to the same path. To put it simply, Jesus came to forgive our sins, not to excuse them. Again, Jesus came to forgive our sins, not to excuse them. So where are you at today? Let's take some time to reflect on our Absalom-like ways and ask the Lord to humble us, to help us recognize our sins, and to come to Him in true repentance. Let's pray. God, we thank You that You are like the prodigal son's father. You don't let us get away with things or just excuse them just so that we could do whatever we want, but in Your loving kindness, You bring us to repentance. So I pray that You would help us, Lord, to really be sober-minded in how we live our life, and that we would not justify different things or try to prove to You what is right or wrong, but that we would come to You in humility and that You would lead us to true repentance. So we thank You, God. We love You for forgiving our sins and not excusing them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.